another victory. It's just kind of what we do now. We talked with Travis Scherer from the 2-0 podcast, joining us to talk Touchdown Atlantic. Crack those cold ones. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. Specifically, find us on Spotify. We're powered by Spotify for podcasters. Go to Spotify, search Argos Fancast. We're right there. Bookmark us. Save us. Subscribe. Do whatever you need to do so you can listen to us every week. You can find our socials. Just Argos Fancast. And anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. And well, you know what? I am Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. Joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is our VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on the Twitter machine at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And from the double blue order, Sir Douglas of House Ballinger, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Okay, give me 1 second. Okay. Cheer up, sorry, hang on. Never mind. I was gonna sing something. I just completely spaced what it was. I'll sing it later. You can find myself on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called now, and on Threads at W59. You can find the Double Blue Order on Facebook, Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called, on Instagram. We also have a merchandise store available. Still has the Law Firm T-shirt up. I don't know for how much longer, but we do have the Olette 3416 shirt now available. That's at doubleblueorder.ca.
Well, gentlemen, we went 1-0 again last week.
Mm-hmm.
It was not something I was overly concerned with.
That's
because I just remembered what I was going to be singing.
No.
Oh, dear.
If you receive complaints, you can ship them my way. Cheer up, Simone Lawrence. Oh, what can it mean to a slag-sucking bastard and a shit football team?
Not bad. Oh, and the Argos won 31-15.
Easy as you like.
Yeah, we went into the half up 20-3, and then we just kind of coasted to the win from there. Let's get into some stats here. Okay, Chad Kelly. Another 300-yard passing game, 306 yards on 20 completions, two touchdowns. A.J. Ouellette, 10 carries, 84 yards. Chad Kelly added 4 for 18, and rushing touchdown. Cameron Dukes had the other rushing touchdown. Now, as far as the receivers go, we've got DeVaris Daniels leading the way, a touchdown and 80 yards off of 4 catches. Curley Gittens Jr., 6 catches, 69 yards and a touchdown, finally getting on the board. Dejon Brissett, a nice big 50-yard catch for him. Coxey had 3 for 43. Phillips, 3 for 39. David Ungerer, 1 for 13. A.J. Ouellette, 2 for 12. Not a bad game. Offensively, defensively, Darius Pickett led the way, 7 tackles. Two of them are tackles for loss. Winton McManus had 6 tackles. Jonathan Jones, 5.
Had a nice block of a referee.
Yeah, and a sack. Robertson Daniel had 4. Royce Metchie had 4. Jamal Peters, 3 and a pick. Yeah, Jared Brinkman, 3 and a sack. You know, just only one interception. It was kind of pedestrian for the Argos, you know.
But our team cornerback had, our team defensive back, he had 2 tackles. Some say that he appears on high value stamps in Sweden, and that he can catch fish with his tongue. All we know is that he's Quantes Stiggers.
Oh, I like that. All right, that's a thing now.
I'm doing that all the time. As long as he's still with the team, that's
yep. Oh, okay. Good, the bad, and the ugly.
Aren't you supposed to play music?
Yeah, I should do that. Let's.
The good. The bad. The ugly.
And it works this time.
Perish the thought. Something actually works on our pokey podcast here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if there's too much ugly here.
Other than what we always say the ugly is.
Well,
when we're playing them.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That's the only ugly I can see.
Game was Friday. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's a little. I'm trying to remember. There were a couple things that I had pegged in my head that might fall into that category, but.
Oh, I have a few.
All right.
The only ugly I've got is the usual one I always go with whenever we're playing them, and that's the fans themselves. Y'all are ugly.
Fans were fine.
I know, but I'm still going to call them ugly. It doesn't matter.
Well,
that's the default if I can't think of anything better.
I mean, the ugly was kind of the special teams at times. Boris Beattie missed a convert. The Argos got caught napping on a onside punt and allowed a few big returns.
That's what it was.
You know, that's where Travis's theory comes in a bit of a worry. Wait. Oh, yeah. We haven't spoken to him yet, have we? Oh, boy.
Wait, you're going to be in for a lot of work here.
No. I'll fix this. Don't worry.
So, I mean, when we consider Mario Alford, for example, he's pretty good. So, he could be a bit of a worry. So,
yeah, I think, yeah.
Donovan specials, he better be on point.
I think that's where my mind was going, was a special teams. The other one I was thinking of was, I was trying to find the penalty stats. Because I know we had some issues with penalties before, but I can't seem to find them anymore.
It wasn't as egregious.
I think Hamilton had more problem with the penalties than we did.
Yeah.
It wasn't as egregious as the Montreal game, but there were still a few. I know Coxey took a roughing penalty on a nice game by AJ. And there were probably a few others, but.
Yeah, only, you know what, it seemed a lot worse than I thought. It was only 6 penalties, 68 yards, where the Ticats had 12 for 100 yards. So I guess my eyes deceived me a little bit.
Yeah, because honestly, I didn't think we were penalized all that much.
No, I think it was more the some of the penalties that we did take were – were ones that we shouldn't be taking.
Was it too many men on a specials too?
Yeah. And that was just laziness. That was them just, you know, casually jogging off the field, starting to walk about halfway through, and you know, that entirely preventable.
Yeah. So your specials better be on point, Mr. Donovan.
Yeah.
Mickey Donovan.
He got them going for a couple weeks. He needs to get them back.
Yeah.
I've just gotten a little bit lazy, so.
Yeah. Well, we know after if you've watched Dinwiddie on the sidelines, I think he's probably already addressed some of these things, because he does not let anybody slide on anything.
No, when that happened, I know, like, they panned the camera to him, he was furious.
Yeah. So, all right, bad. One way or the other.
There was one penalty that just irked me. It was kind of entertaining, but it irked me. The owner of the Hamilton Tiger Cats, Jamal Peters, got an interception. Whitten McManus decided to do a block in the back. Now, I still maintain that if Whitten McManus did not use a Tiger Cat to kill a line judge, we would have had a pick six on that play.
Yeah. I watched that one several times over. Because initially, I thought he caught just the edge of him, and the way he caught caused him to turn. But at the same time, when I watched it back several times, he caught the edge of his back and just kind of forced him to turn. So it was just a timing thing. And I don't think he was going to catch Jamal Peters anyway.
No.
Might have been able to lay a hand on him, but that's about it.
Well, the fortunately Argos scored on that drive.
Yeah, ultimately they scored on the drive, but I mean, come on, it's Jamal Peters against Hamilton. I want to see what he does best, and that's run roughshod over Hamilton's offense. That's all I want to see.
Yeah. Will, do you have any on the bad side?
The Argos did. The offense struggled for a lot of the second half there. And it Chad Kelly at the end leading that touchdown drive to put him.
Yeah.
The offense did struggle a bit. I mean, the defense couldn't get off the field, too, at times. And, you know, ultimately, Hamilton made a bit more of a game out of it than we were expecting.
Yeah, the second half was a little bit lackluster offensively. But when all's said and done, Hamilton only scored on three plays in the second half. 12 points. You know, even if we're playing lackluster, I'll take that as long as we put up a 20 spot in the first half.
Yeah, but we were talking about this, but people after the game and you know, a Don Matthews team would have stepped on their throats and won like 45-3.
Yeah.
Against Taylor Powell.
Yeah, I think some of that is missing in the in today's game. You don't see many teams do that. And I don't know why.
Well, I mean, we know in our in the Argos case, I mean, if they get up in a lead, you know, they're going to start handing the ball off to Mr. Ouellette and Mr. Harris. And when you have a good rushing attack that, you know, is averaging 130 yards a game, you can afford to play a bit conservative.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, still, we've still seen those guys break some big ones, too. So it's not like the offense isn't explosive when we're just running the ball. And honestly, I think after about three or four plays in a row of the defense getting pounded by Ouellette, they kind of want a break. So they kind of let him go a little bit further. Because God knows getting run over by a truck like that, you know, three or four plays in a row, you're probably a little bit on the skittish side, I guess. Yeah. All right, good.
Where to begin?
Not Chad Kelly, another 300-yard game. Starting to cement his name a little bit more.
What about some of the circus catches in this game?
Yeah,
there are some damn fine catches.
Yep.
The second play of the game?
Yep, Brissett.
Yep.
Dejon Brissett pretty much caught the ball. It was already behind him.
Yeah.
That's it. That was insane.
And even Deveris Daniels' catch.
Oh, that was nice too.
Yeah.
He was just shaking off like that touchdown. He was just shaking off tacklers like they were nothing.
Yeah. Well, also at the end of the game, that deep throw Kelly made, it wasn't quite on point, and I think if he hits Deveris in stride there, he might score. But.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think it's good to see Curly Gittens break out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think this is going to be a tough year for him because people are starting to key on him a lot more.
Yeah.
Right. This year is, you know, after he had that year last year, you know, so he's looked at as the number one guy. Whereas that was probably not 100% on him last year.
Well, and also, I mean, Chad likes to, I mean, we see the receiving stats. Chad likes to spread the ball around a little bit, you know?
Yeah. And that shows over the last five games. I mean, you just see it. And it's like everybody's got double digit catches.
Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, you look at when you've got a guy with a 300-yard passing game, you assume there's going to be a 100-yard receiver.
There isn't.
No, because everybody's getting involved because I think the mind of Dinwiddie is starting to show pretty good in the offensive game plans that are coming out there. He's getting everybody open so that you've got to protect against it, literally everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we have six guys. DeMonte Coxey, Cam Phillips, Curly Gittens, Deveris Daniels, Dejon Brissett, and David Ungerer. David Ungerer has the least yards out of all of them at 174. But he's still on pace for 600-plus yards receiving.
And if I'm not mistaken... And right now, DeMonte Coxey, he leads the league in yards per catch. 18 point, just taking a look at the sheet right now, 18.4 yards per catch.
Oh, we fell Harris below 20.
How many catches do you need to qualify?
Minimum of 15.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, Deveris only has 14. but he's averaging 19.3, and Dejon's averaging 19.6, but they don't have 15 catches yet.
Yeah, he'll probably be on there this week.
Yeah.
Or after this week, anyway.
But to get AJ involved a little more in the passing game, but seems like.
I would honestly would just keep him on the ground, just plowing through people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while, give him a screen pass and let him get a little bit ahead of steam, and you can just you'll see people just kind of feign the tackle at him.
Kind of paw at him.
Look, I try
because no one's gonna do shit.
I really gotta also give some credit to our front seven. They're only allowing about 64 yards on the ground. You know, they're forcing teams to really rely on that passing game, and you know, teams are able to get some. You know, they're able to. You know, the Argos put that bend don't break, so teams are getting some yardage, but they're, you know, the Argos aren't really giving up that big play.
Either. No, and the other thing too with the yardage, you know, at some point the Argos are starting to play a prevent defense, so you're getting a lot of, you know, the garbage yards. You know, other teams are going to take that no matter what, but you know, when they need to clamp down, they are clamping down. But we've actually been up in games, so they've been able to kind of take a little bit off the gas in some games, although I'd like to see them start to just all gas, no brakes. Just for a couple games. See how flat teams would be when they play the Argos if we went all gas, no brakes.
Be interesting.
Well, coming up, we've got the annual Touchdown Atlantic. It just seems like it's the annual Argos home game away from home.
Yep.
Will, you're headed out there.
Mm-hmm.
Along with a bunch of other Argos fans.
Yep. And fans of other teams, too.
Yep. We're going to bring on a fan of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, fellow podcaster Travis Kura from the Two and Out podcast. Welcome, Travis Kura from the Two and Out podcast, a guy living in Alberta, talking about Saskatchewan, playing a team from Toronto, but both teams are in Nova Scotia.
Not yet.
Wow. That's a geography lesson if I've ever heard one.
I had to actually move my hands around to get it all situated in my head. Travis, welcome to the Fancast. Let our listeners know, where can they find you?
Well, Two and Out releases twice a week, every Thursday morning, every Monday morning. So getting you ready for the week that's coming and wrapping up the week that was on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, but at Two and Out CFL, but really just anywhere you get podcasts or even on YouTube, you can go there too.
All right. Now this is I believe it's second year in a row that the Riders have been our opponents in Touchdown Atlantic.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
You're going through a little bit of, your team's going through a little bit of a hurt right now, especially the quarterback position. What are you expecting out of your team going into the game in Halifax?
I'm not expecting much, kind of like wasn't expecting much for the Riders going into BC last week. But up until last week, it's sort of like the defense was not getting the pressure that they needed to on the quarterback. That seemed to all change against the Lions. And if they're going to have any success against Toronto, they're going to have to lean on the defense again, because you know the rest of the league knows that Argo's defense is fierce. Mason Fine is going into his fourth career start. But if you look to last year, do we even really want to count those as starts? The Riders were basically writing off the season already. It looked like the team had kind of given up. And then they just threw Fine in there and said, hey, good luck. But now there's still a chance at playoffs. There's a chance of that sort of thing going on. So I would say that this one is like his second real career start. But the offense didn't have all that much success against BC, although he looked okay. He had a pretty good completion percentage, but they were mostly short throws, I think, trying to build up his confidence a little bit. So the Rider defense needs to have a similar effort this week against Toronto, but the Riders also need to get the running game going. They had 12 carries for 11 yards against the Lions. That's what Jamal Morrow had. They can't have less than a yard a carry against Toronto if they have any hope in winning a Touchdown Atlantic this time around.
And we have the best run defense in the country.
Yeah, so it's not looking good.
Don't run on us.
Might be tenths of a yard in this one.
It's funny because there was like, I think he had like a 6 yard carry. So if you take that out, it was like 11 carries for 6 yards or something like that. It can get much worse. Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, the team doesn't have to respect the pass as much. You know, you can stack that box. And at that point, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of what happened last week because BC's D-line, they were getting pressure, but as Saskatchewan just struggled to run the ball, the D-line could just pin their ears back. And Fine was getting hit. He did throw two interceptions, and we know the Toronto secondary has a lot of talent there, and the Riders experiencing some injuries in the receiving corps, so there's a lot of inexperience. It does appear that this week Jake Winicky could make his return. I think a down year in Montreal last year, but still a veteran guy with some experience there and familiar with his time with Montreal, I would say, playing Toronto. And Canadian Braden Linnaeus is looking to make his return as well. So I think some much needed experience in the receiving corps to help out Mason Fine a little bit, but they're in tough against the Argo secondary, which is very physical, and they'll be looking to take the ball away from the Rider offense as well. But maybe there's something to be said about being in the uncomfortable situation. They're both playing away from home, but I know, look, the Argos got to travel too, but the Riders go to Vancouver, to Regina, to Halifax. It seems like a pretty tough stretch for this team, especially with your number two quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, whereas the Argos, I mean, they were on the road last week, but it was Hamilton.
Yeah.
So,
Less
than an hour away, basically.
And I think I remember last year with the Riders, the discipline was the big, big thing. And we saw it pregame in Touchdown Atlantic with the Duke Williams incident. And now he's no longer with the team. And while the Riders seem to have figured out their discipline problems a little bit, some injuries on the offensive line have meant that they're down to their number two or their number three guys there as well. So maybe that explains a little bit of the struggles with the rushing game so far, and even a little bit of the pass protection as well. They've been kind of off and on that way, and look, we can't use injuries an excuse. It's next guy up, but they clearly don't have the depth that some other teams in the CFL have. 'Cause I think it was the Argos that led the league in injuries last year. Look what happened. They ended up becoming the champs, but the Rider roster clearly not built quite like that this year. And it does appear that Coach Dickinson, he's in the last year of his contract, maybe coaching a little bit of with desperation a little bit. Some interesting decisions to go for it on third and short. Running out of the shotgun when you need to get 2 yards and you're lining up 5 yards back when you're getting less than a yard a carry on the run, I don't know if the math adds up to go for it with that kind of play calling. So back to the drawing board a little bit.
The play calling got the lines crossed, you know, the signals to the quarterback got crossed a little bit with a random country station, you know.
Exactly.
So are you making your way out there? Or are you like me watching from home?
Yeah, I'll be watching from the confines of home. I would love to make the pilgrimage to Nova Scotia to watch football. I see a lot of my friends are heading out there and enjoying it. And I mean, hopefully the people of Nova Scotia are safe. I've been seeing some of the video and the flooding and all the crazy stuff that's been going on there. Yeah. I hope that doesn't affect travel for a lot of CFL fans heading out that way for Touchdown Atlantic. But last year, despite, you know, the pregame incidents and some of the tempers flaring and all that sort of stuff, it seems like the general feeling was that it was positive coming out of football in Nova Scotia. And I hope the same thing happens this week as well. And look, the Argos have that big playability, and maybe Chad Kelly's going to be putting on a show for those fans in Nova Scotia. I hope it's another great atmosphere that they have for the CFL.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm flying out there Thursday morning.
Oh, nice.
Hoping that. Bastard. Well, you could come too.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Y'all are going to be partying on Friday night. I got to – basically, it would be like I would have to leave work, assuming what my shift end time is going to be. It's going to be around 4 o'clock. So, yeah, trying to get a flight, like getting to Toronto, first of all, getting down there first. And then from there, flying to there to Halifax. Yeah, good luck. I'm not going to be able to party with you guys.
Well, have you been to one before, any of you guys, at Touchdown Atlantic?
No, that's my first time.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to get out yet either. But, yeah, it's on the bucket list. Definitely. Yeah,
for sure.
We've got a few people in our group that have been out well, at least a couple times, and
try the majority.
Yeah, the majority have been out at least a couple times, or majority of them. The Argos have been out there, and they all come back with stories that they may not fully remember, but they've pieced together from.
They come back with herniated livers, for God's sake.
Right.
They have to get one gamed before they have to get back on the horse, and it's like, oh crap, okay, Argo game coming up, got to prepare for the tailgate now.
It's like, well, and the Argos,
thankfully, we're on the road next time, so no tailgate.
Oh yeah, they this has to be like the fifth or sixth game for Toronto in the Touchdown Atlantic, isn't it?
Year four, I think. I mean, they had one back in 2010. 2019,
2020,
2022, and 2023.
Okay, four.
Wow.
Hello. Did that.
Yeah, my computer decided to show me some
porn.
Some look back at the stuff.
I thought
that
that's
happened.
Where he was going to.
No. No, it actually showed me a memory from July 25th when we were able to get out to Saskatchewan for the last year at Mosaic Stadium.
Oh, cool.
Old Mosaic Stadium.
Yeah. Taylor Field.
The first year with Chris Jones in Saskatchewan, where it was sort of a bittersweet year because, you know, people are celebrating and remembering all their memories at Taylor Field, and Chris Jones released every veteran on the roster. So yeah. you're trying to get people to come to the stadium one more time, but they're fielding a crappy team. I ended up going to the last game or the last regular season game there. So You know, Darian Durant, he gets pulled in the second half. And, yeah, it was just one of those things. But those are years gone by. Thanks for bringing that up.
Well, that was the thing. I wanted to try and get my kids out to a game at Mosaic before it was torn down. And because we'd been out there a few times running on the field and stuff like that, but never to see an actual game. So we were able to get to see the last Argos game at Taylor Field there. So
cool.
So now, you know, there's lots of things going on with Touchdown Atlantic. One of the things that you've been synonymous with over your years doing the podcast and your CFL fandom is the eating contest. What's next up for Travis in the great CFL eating competitions?
I've kind of slowed down with those, to be honest. Although, if somebody would want to take me on in a lobster roll eating contest to kind of go with the Touchdown Atlantic theme, I would totally be down for that. Like, I don't know. Yeah, you guys, like, Joey Chestnut is a personal hero of mine. So he dips the bun in water to make it go down a little bit easier. I think if you dip the bun in maybe like some Keith's, and then that might make it go down a little bit easier. We know that lobster is coated in mayonnaise. You're probably, if you eat 10 of those, I don't know, put it probably in the 30,000 calorie range.
that would just completely ruin lobster for spring, man.
Can you ruin lobster? I don't know if that's possible.
Oh, I don't know. I've never tried it going back. I never tried tasting it going back the other way. I mean, it's my.
You can ruin lobster somehow.
I guess you could, but they could do a lot of great things with it. Lobster mac and cheese is something that is a delicacy. Yeah, yeah. Because I've had my share of lobster rolls at the Schooner's Room at Grey Cups in the past. So.
Oh yes, yeah. I think they put as have I. That's like my first stop every Grey Cup. The lobster roll.
And I haven't kissed the cod. There's something about kissing a cod that has been kissed by dozens of people before you that makes me want to avoid that. I don't know if they Purell it between each kiss. Maybe they do.
Well, you know, it's a dog.
Oh, who's the pup?
One of the neighbor's dogs getting mad at something.
Oh, okay.
The pitfalls of recording in the backyard. apparently, he's got something to say.
Yeah, I see that. Like, what would you guys want to go in an eating contest for? I'm going to Montreal in a couple weeks. I would, I'd be okay with downing about 5 pounds of Montreal smoked meat. I would not feel very well afterwards. And I did see assistant coach of the Vegas Golden Knights got his day with the Stanley Cup in Brandon, Manitoba, and he was eating pierogies out of the cup. So, I mean, if I could fit 3 dozen pierogies in the Grey Cup, I think that'd be fantastic too.
Yeah.
Montreal smoked meat does something to you. It's something you don't eat 5 pounds.
Yeah, that was a little ambitious.
You need to stay away from Travis for hours on end.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I could do. I could keep up with you and the pierogies, but my older son definitely could.
Oh, really? Hey, metabolism. Yeah.
Yeah, he's 17, right?
Yeah, it just burns right through it.
but it's not just any pierogies that we'd have to use.
I have to use your specialty deep fried pierogies. Don't think I forget about those. I dream of those on a weekly basis, man.
Well, you got to get yourself out when the Riders play in Toronto. You got to get yourself out here for one, and we'll do our best to try and have those at the tailgate.
Well, I was going to say, when I don't want to jinx it, when the Argos win the Grey Cup in the Donut Box in November? Are the Argo fans going to have a special, I'm trying not to jinx it for you, a special tailgate outside of Tim Hortons Field? I feel like the Double Blue Order, Doug would be so into trolling the Ticat fans that he'd probably be hanging out with those Argo fans right down the street outside of Tim Hortons Field.
That would be the day that I get banned from Tim Hortons Field.
You already aren't? Wow.
Not yet. No one's really started a fight with me because I'm usually in a crowd of like five or six other people, so it's like, yeah, you ain't gonna talk. Yeah, I can talk shit, but if you can't take it, well, you got to deal with the other five guys too.
Yeah, when you got backup, you're all of a sudden a lot more confident, aren't you?
Backup plus alcohol equals me being a complete and utter prick.
Oh, I love that. So yeah, these deep fried pierogies. Do you eat them with sour cream or what? I feel like they would be a bit tougher to pound back quickly, you know.
Well, let's put it this way. Well, when I was younger, and my dad still does this, but by the time you sit down to dinner, you've had at least 15 to 20.
Oh yeah. They probably sit heavy, don't they?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know what it is about them. You keep, and then there's something about grabbing them, you know, when they're just cooling down before, and you just keep walking by and you keep grabbing them and keep grabbing them. You know, I think the last time we made them, my son had 36.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he is a Travis after all.
Yeah. Yes.
Hey, that's perfect. Now, can you get Pilsner in Toronto?
Sure.
Yes.
Where?
any beer store will have it. Liquor store will have it.
The better question is why.
Yeah, that's the better question. Yeah, when you've got so much other better beers.
Well, okay. So when I was last in Toronto, it was the 2016 Grey Cup. I was looking for some Pilsner. I didn't have much luck. But I ended up going with the Steam Whistle, which is I think a Toronto institution. And that's the secret of the Grey Cup in Toronto. You got to book your Steam Whistle tour because they got cheaper beers, and then you get free samples on the tour, and then you can kind of continue all day long. But there's no Pilsner factory in Toronto. But because I could dip the deep fried pierogies in the Pilsner, and now it's a real tailgate.
Yeah, we can make that happen at the tailgate. That's easy.
What happens at the tailgate stays at the tailgate.
You just have to find some poor sap to buy Pilsner.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I could be that poor sap. I'm okay with that.
I'll give you an address to a beer store where they'll have it. So.
Okay, perfect.
Well, we've gotten a little off topic, but that's what we do here.
always what we do here.
Travis, going back to the game, I want to get your prediction for the outcome of this game.
Well, I think it's an Argo win. I really do. I feel anytime that the opponent makes mistakes with the Argos, they make you pay. And they got so much big play ability. But if the Rider D line is able to perform anywhere close, like they did against BC, it would probably be a bit of a closer game, even though Chad Kelly has the ability to break those tackles. Right now, if I look at the betting spread, if you just want to go that way, the Argos are favored by 10.5 points. I see the Riders probably losing by 7 or 8. I think they have the ability to not go to Touchdown Atlantic and get absolutely smoked. I think they can cover the spread. I don't see many scenarios where the Riders get a win here. I think they lose. I think it'll be closer than the spread indicates at this point in the week, though. Am I a bad Ryder fan? Like, should I be? Should I just be blindly loyal and predicting a win every week?
That happens on other programs, and you see how it goes for them.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we blindly pick the Argos to win every single game, but this year we're not too blind.
Yeah, you've been right every week so far. And look, and if the another key here, and it's pretty tough, I think, to predict stuff like this. But if Mario Alford breaks a big one or two, then that changes everything, right? When they lost to Calgary by 2 points a couple of weeks ago, Saskatchewan really had no business being in that game. But 14 points coming off of special teams, coming off of Mario Alford, that'll get you into any game. It just is an absolute dagger. And the Argos, they're kind of middle of the pack when it comes to and actually, they've been giving up the most return yards on kickoffs in the CFL, almost 27 yards. For punts, they're giving up about 11.3 yards a punt. So I don't know what's going on there with the kickoff numbers. There haven't been very many games, but if Mario Alford breaks a kick or two, that might be something that could keep Mason Fine and the Riders a lot closer than I think people are expecting.
And now we're worried. Thanks a lot.
Hey, I had to lift my team up somehow.
All right, Travis. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us, Travis. We'll let you get back to your show prep so you can do your real radio show.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on, guys. It's always fun to talk to you. And enjoy the game this weekend, all right?
Will do.
All right, you too.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
And that was Travis Kerva of the Two and Out podcast. And many other things that he does in and around the CFL.
Oh, what a lovely fellow.
Yeah.
He's always a nice guy. I like him.
Oh, yeah. He's one of those guys that if you could tell, if you want to meet a Ryder fan, that's the guy to meet. He's a staunch Ryder fan as you can get, but he's also a very, very nice guy. What do we need to do to beat these Rough Riders and just continue the winning ways that seem to be ingrained in the Argos fabric right now?
I mean,
we've already covered on a bit of it.
Yeah. This is what the second week in a row where the Argos will face a quarterback who, you know, maybe they weren't expecting to. And, you know, just don't take Mason Fine lightly. I mean, as Travis said, he's going to have some of his receivers back. And, you know, they could be a threat. You know, Jamal Morrow's a good running back as well, even though, you know, the Argos are really good against the run. He usually manages to have decent performances against us. And, you know, the Riders' defense has played well at times. I mean, they, you know, albeit Vernon Adams got hurt in the middle of their game, but, you know, they still only gave up 19 points in that game. So we know they can perform well against high-octane offenses. And like it or not, even though it's technically a home game for the Argos, there's probably going to be more Saskatchewan fans there.
Mm-hmm.
Giving them a boost.
It usually always is.
But I mean, you gotta remember, with regards to our fans, we're pretty much like, we're kind of like the U.S. Navy SEALs. There's not a lot of us, but you'll know we're there. But in comparison to the Riders, which is more like just the standard frontline infantry.
Yeah.
Could be a lot of loud noises too.
A lot of them will go down
by Saturday.
Saturday, the weather forecast right now, we need that to change because it looks like you might get some rain. That to change. Yes, you more than anybody, you need that to change, Will.
Well, I did get up. I picked up a poncho today, so.
We've got some guys. It looks like the first round on the sixth game are starting to practice again, or at least technically coming off the sixth game. Darius Bladick is now listed there. Markeith Ambles participated in practice, albeit limited. Isaiah Cage was a full participant. Thomas Costigan, DeMonte Coxey, Josh Haggerty, all limited. Henock Mwamba still not practicing, but he's showing up on our list. Tommy Neild was limited. Cam Phillips might not go this week. Shane Richards, once again, off the sixth game, limited in practice. And Jordan Williams, a full participant in practice. That's a good sign.
It's a good sign, though. Jonathan Jones has played very well.
Yeah. And it almost seems like anybody we put out there at middle linebacker seems to have a good game.
Yeah. But I think they do want that luxury of playing a Canadian. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, honestly, I think we can just kind of go back to what we've said almost every week with what the Argos need to do. Keep the dumb plays to a minimum and go out there and play your game. Don't take anybody lightly. Done deal. We can just, re-roll our clips week in and week out at this point.
Yeah.
Because it's all the same. And right now, we're back into the, we need the special teams to get it back together again.
Oh, I just thought we should put that on the soundboard. So ultimately, next week when we're 1-0 again, it's like, okay, we're taking on who are we taking on next week? Calgary? Yeah. So then all you got to do is like, you know what? We're just gonna do this, and then you just hit the button, play what we're gonna say, and that's it. That's all you need to do. It'd be super simple.
All right. I think I can do that. All right. We'll see how this works out. So. With that, I think it's time for our weekly pick'em.
What about fantasy first? Don't really do fantasy phone?
You want to do fantasy first? All right, we can do fantasy first.
Wow.
Yeah, because isn't that what we normally do? Fantasy first, then pick'em?
Sure.
So.
We lost.
You guys lost. My team, they decided to, as the game between Ottawa and Calgary goes on, I start looking at my score. I'm like, oh boy, it's getting high. Check the leaderboard and with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it's like, oh, I'm 0.1 out of first place for the whole shebang. If I win $2,500. And then I needed stupid Ottawa to get some sort of turnover on that last drive. No, they don't get a turnover. They allow Calgary to tie it. And then the stupid Ottawa still wins. So I ended up in ninth and I won nothing except... I did win the week on the CFL Fans Fight Cancer Fantasy. and won $30, which I donated back to charity. So me, who normally hates fantasy, I don't know, feeling good about it now.
All right, well,
now that you've actually see the benefit to it.
Yeah.
So I've gone ahead and started filling out our team here.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Kelly is our quarterback again. Okay. AJ Ouellette, running back.
Yep.
Now, as far as receiver goes, I'm looking. I've got DeVaris Daniels, Coxey, or Gittens Jr. We haven't played Gittens Jr. yet.
Well, I played Gittens last week and got a good game out of him.
All right.
And he seems to have maybe gone out of his shell, but I mean, I think the problem with you know, we have a good receiving core, and that creates part of the problem with fantasy. I think in a few ways is we don't know who's going to get the ball week to week, and secondly, like the offense seems to be like we're getting the ball inside, let's say the 10, through a combination of passing and running, but ultimately we're finishing the Argos are finishing drives off with either a Chad Kelly touchdown or AJ Ouellette touchdown, so. We kind of lose the receivers. If you pick an Argo receiver, you're kind of losing out sometimes on touchdowns.
Yeah.
Yeah. I personally, my team this week, I picked Coxey and Unger and see how that goes with Argo receivers.
Well, since you've been happy with things, let's go and put Coxey on the team. He's a little bit cheaper than Curly Gittens Jr.
Yep.
And then right now I've got Julian Grant penciled in, but he's a little on the expensive side.
I went Nate Bahar. I mean, he's had a few good games in a row, and he and Dustin Crump.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, chemistry. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I went. I went with Nate Bahar this week for a wide receiver.
All right.
Then I also took that as the second running back. I took that Ottawa Devontae Williams.
All right, we'll pencil him in there.
So I figured Hamilton is a bit vulnerable against the run.
Yep.
If it's about taking, I mean, I think a lot of people last week had Shivers from BC in their lineup. But
yes.
I don't think he quite. I saw some consternation online about his play. So, I mean, I don't know what Tyquan Mizell's status is, but. This question, you know, how much? Thing is, you know, BC is going to Edmonton this week, and Edmonton, you know, we know is a porous run defense, but really, I mean, I think a lot of people, everybody picked Brady Oliveira last week, and he didn't necessarily light it up. So,
yeah, let's take a quick look here. Tyquan Mizell, oh, he was a healthy scratch last week. Wow.
But he might not, if he's healthy, he may not be.
Yeah, he was probably one of those last-minute things. He's been a full participant in practice this week, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think BC, I mean, Shivers may have given you a better result if Adams didn't go down.
Yeah. All right. Now, defense.
I went the Argos.
Yeah, I'm going with the Argos again here and that. So we've got to make Chad Kelly our captain. Two times the points. So that leaves us 7.9 $8,000.
For what position?
For a flex.
Flex. Scrolling down the names here.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have enough for Barnes out of.
Do we take a flyer on Tyler Snead? Have it a good game again.
I was thinking him, but is he?
Oh, he's only 6.1.
Yeah, why not?
Go for it.
All right. Snead, you're in.
Fajardo Cody may be looking his way a little more after his game a few weeks ago.
Yep. All right, that does it with the fantasy. Surprisingly, a lot of input from Will this week.
Well, I'm all of a sudden the fantasy expert.
Yep. Okay, pick 'em. We've got start off the week. Friday night, you've got Hamilton in Ottawa.
The Red Blacks.
Yeah,
Red Blacks should roll them. The way they're playing right now?
They are playing inspired. And when you're, you know, a middling team, that can go a long way.
I think it can still be close. I mean, Ottawa's won, you know, yes, their last two wins have been dramatic, but, you know, they've been in overtime.
Yep.
A few things go another way, you know, they're maybe on the losing side. So, I mean, I think they do win, but, I mean, it may be closer than expected.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's going to be a close game. It's going to be a close one. But I honestly think, like, Crum is proving he's the real deal.
Yeah, and you know what? He's not, like, if you look at his stats, they're not mind-blowing, but he's making the right decisions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a lot like, you know, the same thing we saw from Chad Kelly at the beginning of this season. His stats weren't mind-blowing, but he was making the right decisions at the right time. And that's what I see from Crum. So, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Ottawa in overtime for a third week in a row.
I mean, they're already in unprecedented territory after winning two overtime games in a row.
Oh, we're going further.
So you're thinking a third one? Well, that'd be really interesting.
All right, Saturday. We've got a doubleheader. We start off in Halifax. We've got Saskatchewan at Toronto. And it's in Halifax. Don't go to BMO Field.
Yes, please don't go to BMO Field.
I was going to save that for the 3-minute warning, guys.
Take a pick. You know, don't. If you go to BMO, I mean, I feel like I've emphasized enough on social media. Do not go to BMO Field. So if you go to BMO Field, do not take an angry picture of yourself and post it to social media. You've been warned.
One of these days, you stole
what I was going to put in for the 3-minute warning, you fucking donkey.
All right.
Anyway, Argos win. It'll be by 2 touchdowns. Let's move on.
I think Argos by 18.
Argos by 19.
All right.
This is going to be like Price is Right here.
Absolutely.
So next week we're going to have to see who's going to play Plinko.
Da-da-da-da.
All right.
Help control the pet population. Have your pets
spayed or neutered. We've got BC in Edmonton. Oh, this is another one of those.
Is this going to be the week? I sure hope so for the sake of Turf District. I don't want to see them going absolutely insane.
They haven't yet.
Well, they're going to by the end of the year if something doesn't happen.
I think BC's just, even with Dane Evans starting at quarterback, I still think they're a much better team than Edmonton.
Of course they are.
Everybody's, you know, better than Edmonton.
At this point, sometimes I think we might be better than Edmonton. It's pushing it, but
Birmingham Barracudas are better than Edmonton.
Go Manatees.
They've won just as many games this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to say BC by 9.
Heart says... Rather, head says BC by a dozen. Heart wants Edmonton by 1.
Crap, I don't have the nickel of destiny.
I love that term.
Nickel of destiny.
All right, let me see if I do.
You got a D20 somewhere if you want me to roll that.
I have a D&D here. Yeah.
I could still flip a coin.
No, we don't want to do the Dime of Doom.
The Penny of Power.
How about the Toonie of the Toonie of Fortune? All right, so we'll go
quality.
Polar Bear Head, or no, Polar Bear Heart. Queen Elizabeth Head.
Doo-doo-doo.
Polar Bear. Doug's picking Edmonton by 1.
Go! I'm going to look like a genius if this happens.
And the Turf District will put your picture up in the...
Oh, at that point, I better get my Eastern European dictator pose ready.
And then we finish off the week Sunday evening in Montreal. Calgary at 2-4 coming in to play Montreal at 2-3. Jesus,
I don't know.
This one's stumping me too. I mean, we all know Cody Fajardo's going to get sacked like 18 times.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Calgary's defense didn't really get a lot of...
Calgary's defense hasn't done squat.
Well,
they until... get a lot of pressure.
Well, until this week, because they just got Jagera Davis back.
Yeah, that's
so, going to be
nothing, but...
Yeah.
It'll probably still be nothing, but at least it'll be something.
You got no pass from Sean.
Yeah.
Justin.
I'm gonna say Montreal by a field goal.
Yeah, and I mean at home I'll give Montreal the advantage.
I'm gonna say Les Alouettes is gonna take this one.
All right, it's unanimous. Well, it's time.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, I'm out of here. We got 3 minutes, I'm out of here.
Well, there's been a lot of good articles, good stuff coming out of stuff lately. But first of all, as Will has already touched on, thank you very much, Dick. I'm going to start calling you a dick from now on as opposed to Will. For the love of God, Argo fans, despite what you're hearing on TSN radio, what you're seeing out of the CFL's own game zone site, and just about everything else that you might hear, do not go to BMO Field on Saturday. One, you're going to be grossly disappointed. And two, especially if I catch wind of it, I will laugh at you. because you should have known that the Argos are in Halifax this week. As a matter of fact, this won't be just be me that's laughing at you. Will laugh at you. Clay will laugh at you. And just about all of our friends that are in Halifax that are going to go watch the game, we're all going to laugh at you.
To quote Adam Sandler, they're all going to laugh at you.
Exactly. So please, please, show a little bit of...
Common sense?
Show a little bit of common sense, okay? Make sure you do your due diligence and do not go to BMO Field on Saturday. Now, that being said, let's talk about some good stuff. The Argos did a really nice thing the other was it yesterday or was it during a practice? I know that.
The video was posted today.
Yeah, the video was posted today. It's on YouTube. It's on their channel. Go check it out. Basically, they brought in some indigenous youth from somewhere out beyond, I think it was somewhere up from out beyond Marathon to experience an Argo practice. And from the looks of it, they had a really good time.
They did.
So, like I said, it's a really good video. I know. I think I retweeted it. I think the DBO retweeted it as well. So, like I said, it's on whatever the hell Twitter is calling itself now. Go check it out. I still maintain that the bird isn't dead. It's just pining for the fjords.
Pining for the fjords.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, there it is. Okay, okay. So I just found the video again. So Argonauts hosts students from Pick Mobert First Nation, some in Toronto for the very first time. So you can imagine how overwhelmed they probably were coming in, probably being stuck in traffic on the Gardiner for about 5 hours.
And they gave them little jerseys too.
Yeah. So it really is a nice story. So by all means, go check it out when you got a chance. There's also another thing on YouTube that you may want to watch. Any of you guys remember Joe Tilley?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got his own little YouTube channel out there. It's Joe Tilley's Great Canadian Sports Show. It's only got about 14,000 subscribers right now. And he had our very own GM Michael Clemens on his show. I haven't really had a chance to watch it, but we all know what pinball's like. Everybody here knows what pinball's like. If you want to experience him, by all means, go on ahead, give it a watch. I know Joe will appreciate the view. I know.
And Joe Tilley's not the most reserved fellow either.
No, he's not. I mean, that's one thing I liked watching CFTO Sports when he was doing it. So it was one of my favorite things when I used to watch. Because he did. I don't think he ever did. Did he? What did he? Yeah, I know he did the weekends. I don't know. Was he prime time? Was he late night or prime time?
He did the late night one for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I only started catching that when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So go check that out. Let's see. I think. Shall we board a flight that's going to take a detour via Kazakhstan?
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
So, let's see. There's one of my favorites. Ticat QB named best actor, stumbling and complaining like an Italian soccer player. Now, that is a very, that could have been a very inflammatory reference, considering what we've got here right now.
Yeah. Well.
So.
Yeah. The one I like,
but he's not wrong.
The one I liked, a nice, simple one. He responded to somebody's tweet. So if this person, the at Lazy Crow, if Adam Goss is, if Adam Goss is on my flight Thursday, think they'll serve us 7 a.m. beers? And our friend Anton replied, they're not 7 a.m. beer. They're 5 p.m. Kazakh beer. Hey, he's fixed it for you. He's fixed it.
Yeah, yeah, he's fixed it for you. It's just like, hey, that's, what can I say? It's there's it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Regrettably, we will not be on 7 a.m. flight.
Oh, hell, you're looking at me. I'm just, I do day drinking sometimes when it's Rangers and Celtics, so for me, it's nothing.
I like the one poking fun at Save-On Foods. What is a grocery store Save-On Foods is supposed to be really good food. Hundreds of locations in Toronto. Of course, bringing light to the frustration that we have about sponsors for Touchdown, whatever the fuck it's called. You know, the thing we can never...
Yeah. Cause yeah, because
grocery stores east of
Memphis. closest Save-On Foods to us would be Winnipeg.
Winnipeg. Maybe they have some in Thunder Bay. I don't know.
They do not. I have checked.
I think they had a Safeway in Thunder Bay.
I think Farm Boy should get in on it.
Such a wonderful store.
Here's the thing that bothers me is Save-On Foods is part of the same family as Safeway, and they're all owned by Sobeys. We've got Sobeys out here. Why isn't Sobeys jumping on this as well?
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'd say we throw a flag on that.
Yeah.
A legal procedure. Defense, they made the offense move. 5-yard penalty, first down repeated.
All right, there we go.
Thank you, Clay.
You have angered Andre Prue.
Oui, oui.
All right, Doug, do we got anything else?
Just one last thing from Kazakhstan, and then we'll wrap it up here. So after Dijon Brissett's big catch, the double blue order, tweeted out, by the taint of Aphrodite, what a catch.
I saw that.
And this is where I get into a I run the DBO Twitter. And I get into a conversation with our friend Anton. Because obviously he didn't understand what I put. So that's when I started doing. That's when I broke out the old translate.google.ca and started going at it. So then I put, by God's sheath, what a catch. Will this help my friend? And then he replied, yes, you speak like a slightly drunk Kazakh. I then replied, I think got a little lost in translation here, but it's like, no problem. I said, no problem. You better drink a little. Maybe it's my inner Eastern European coming out. Ha ha ha. And that's when he just posted the a GIF with some. Yeah. So that was my conversation with Anton.
All right. Well, with that. It's always nice to end on a trip to Kazakhstan. That does it for the Argos Fancast this week. Doug, where can they find you?
You can find me on whatever the hell Twitter's called nowadays, and Threads at DougB519. You can find the Double Blue Order, Facebook, whatever the hell Twitter's called now, Instagram. You can also find our merch store, Oulette3416t-shirts, doubleblueorder.ca.
Will, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the various social media machines. We want to thank Travis Kerr from the Two and Out podcast for joining us this week to talk Touchdown Atlantic and, well, some food competitions as well. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast. We are powered by Spotify for podcasters, so go directly to Spotify. Type in Argos Fancast, you'll find us there. Give us a listen. That is it for this edition of the Argos Fancast. We'll talk to you again when we're 1-0. Cheers, everyone.